to click the right way. Yeah. You know, he goes off the island, graduates from Washington State University in mechanical engineering, just pre-war, and then went down to L.A. and, as I hear it, worked for one of the aircraft industries, Lockheed, you know, or whoever was down there. There were pre-war, you know, there were all these little airplane companies,
right?
You know, and every one of them had contracts and so forth. Well, then, and he was kind of hoping that he wouldn't get drafted. Then I guess when he realized that this wasn't going to do any good, he went ahead and volunteered.
Enlisted,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I never saw Bob, you know, he was enough older than I was, so that I just hear about these things. And one of them was this deal where with the little nine-car ferry, he set up the crew. He says, don't worry about what you see. It's okay. It's planned. And so as the ferry pulls away from the dock over here, he lets it get like 50 feet out, and there are no gates in those days or whatever. He comes screaming down the dock, you know, in this open convertible of whatever car. Wait for me. Blam, off the end of the dock into the water.
What?
The car was a throwaway, I guess.
Okay.
You know, who knows, they may have coasted it down there. But, you know, it's just, wait for me. And he comes screaming up. Have you ever seen What's Up, Doc?
No.
Oh. It's the same
kind of thing.
Same kind of thing. Just off,
right
the,
off
end of,
the end.
Off the end of the dock, yes. And, of course, the car sunk, and the ferry stopped, and they pulled him aboard very wet. And then then everybody had a good laugh, I suspect. But
oh, that's hilarious.
It was that he was fussing. I was when he still had the place. You know, I got to get worried now. You know what's now White's.
Right. What's now White's?
Why upstairs above the machine shop is this? You know, are these apartments? And Mom and Dad lived there after Dad retired for 2 years while they got the house started.
Right.
And so I was over there one day, and Bob was working on the lathe, and he was fussing. He says, you know, your dad built this this heat exchanger for one of the launch, it may have been Alvin's launch or whatever. And he says, of course, in typical engineer, now remember, this is a mechanical engineer talking about an electrical engineer.
Right.
You know, and saying, you know, and in typical fashion, you overbuilt the thing, and it was really pretty and so forth. And but anyway,
right.
But onto the rebuilt motor. Bob got this, I think, about an 18-foot oak launch, and it had some dry rot. So I walked into the shop one day, and he's bending, you know, he set up a steamer. He's bending new oak ribs for the thing, and after he got that done, then he goes to work on this either one-lunger or two-cylinder 1905 engine, you know, ignition engine,
right,
with external push rods, external oilers. You know, this thing was primitive.
I think I've seen that.
That's, well, possible.
I think Tom still has it in
the really?
Shop.
Really?
I took small engine repair in high school from him.
Okay.
And he brought it to our...
Oh, slick.
Yeah,
it's about this by this by this.
And it's really tall.
Yeah, really tall.
And you can see all the parts
moving. Yep, exactly.
That's the
good thing about it. You can see all the parts move.
Exactly. That's why I brought it.
It's a wonderful explanation of things for that reason. And
very cool.
Yeah.
So he rebuilt that?
He rebuilt it from scratch. You know, he did the... Knowing Bobby did a very good job on it.
Well, Jerry told me about going down to the machine shop and just hanging out because it was just how... He was so cool how he just ran it.
Yeah, well, it was so funny to see. You know, he could wring good things out of a lathe that really wasn't very fancy. He had that old Atlas. I had an Atlas too. Mine may have been more beat up. But he says, oh, well, you know, if the gears are loose, why, you wrap a belt around the chuck, and then you pull on it as a brake so the thing can't go back and forth. It can't loosen up, and so you don't get this bang, 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 bang.
Right.
Well, those are the kind of tricks that people use to do good work on equipment that might have been not as fancy as what we expect today.
Right. Wow, that's really cool.
And so, well, you need to understand that Sylvia's a cousin.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to talk to somebody that, I don't know how much work my twin sister's done. She lives in Issaquah.
Uh-huh.
Name is Minita Horn.
Uh-huh.
And she, I know she did a lot of interviewing of Dad about things.
Oh, really?
You know, before he died.
Uh-huh.
And she's trying to get all of us to tell these stories like this, you know.
Right.
And we're not doing a very good job of it. We have our own stories to tell.
Well, of course.
Kind of things about that we never admitted to Mom. You did all sorts of things, but I walked around one day, several weeks, with a very bruised heel.
Uh-huh.
Mom never said a word, not one. She didn't want to know.
To know what it was that you had
she
done?
She didn't want to know what I had done to bruise my heel.
And since you weren't talking about it, she knew it was something bad.
Yes, well, I had rappelled. I'd done a 90-foot free rappel and bounced.
Oh, nice.
You know.
Well, that was fun.
I was having a little too much fun.
Apparently.
Yeah.
A 90-foot rappel, huh?
Well, sure. Why not?
Splendid.
You got 120-foot of rope, so it's about all you can wring out of the thing on a single strand is a 90-foot rappel or so.
Right.
And the cliff over.
Where were you?
Cooley Dam. I grew up at Cooley. Dad was an engineer at Cooley. He came in April of 36 and retired after, I don't know how many years,
uh-huh.
33 or 34 or 35 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back here, stayed above Bob and Sylvia's
waited for the house to be built.
And, yeah, Lowell built the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in the family.
Right.
You know? Don't know if you know Connie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Connie's a cousin.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to Connie all the time.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
So, yeah. Fabulous. Can you tell me anything else about Bob or about, I don't know, anyone
only
else?
The 28 Rio.
The Rio.
Maybe
kind of talk a little bit about the Rio. But
this was the island car. See, uh-huh. It never left the island, so it didn't need a license, so forth. And
cab.
No, nothing. I mean,
yeah.
License what, huh? And what?
Exactly. Cindy was driving it since she was 8.
I would believe that, yes.
Right.
And all I remember was, you know, it would come putting in, but, you know.
Uh-huh.
He kept it running for a long time.
God.
Speaking of put, we used to vacation on the old place,
uh-huh.
Which is, you know, down by the slough. Okay, let's see. You know where the bed and breakfast, where you come, past Andy's Park. We came around the corner with
Anderson
a slew on that
past Anderson House.
Yeah, and you don't go past it. Where the slew goes underneath,
right.
You do a quick left. That's the old place.
Okay.
And we'd vacation there up until the place got too ratty to do that with.
Uh-huh.
And there was a fellow that lived right out where the blackberries are right now,
mm-hmm.
out by the end of the slew.
Mm-hmm.
On the road there, what used to be a bridge and is now just a big culvert.
Culvert.
Yeah. I think this part gets really iffy. I think his name was Mr. Persons.
Mm-hmm.
And from the deed, that's who Grandpa bought the place from in 93.
Mm-hmm.
1893, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that there was a gentleman's agreement that he could live there as long as he was alive and capable,
right.
And so forth. And so I remember being down there one day, and I was sitting on his bed, and I looked at his rifle. He says, "Careful, it's loaded." 30-40 Krag sitting there, you know. Well, he lived off the land, you know.
Right.
And he had a little dory with a one-lunger in it. Green dory, and probably the engine was painted green too, I don't know. But very early in the morning, you'd hear put, 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 put as he went out the bay and over to the Nisqually, you know,
uh-huh.
to the flats to fish, troll, whatever.
Right.
And about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, put, put,
he'd come back.
Put, put as he came back down the bay.
Very slowly.
Well, You remember, these were people who thought nothing of rowing to Tacoma.
No kidding.
You know, this was a different world.
Well, I heard stories about some of the older Carlsons rowing part of the ocean to go up to Canada, up through Canada.
Ouch. Yeah. Well.
Rowing out of the sound, going a hard stretch on the ocean and up the river.
Yep.
Rowing.
Yep.
Against the tides.
Uh-huh. You just had to be tough.
No kidding.
Well, Dad and Alvin were out between here and Long Branch with Alvin's lunch when they blew the rock, they lost the bearings on it. And so they put the rowboat out in front, turned the thing around, and started back this way with it. And
towing this thing behind.
Said they just about got swamped when the Seattle or Tacoma to Olympia ferry went by.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that'd be terrible. So since you're kind of in that
middle?
South and middle part, do you remember, or did anybody tell you anything about the fish building, the fish restaurant in the South End? Well, ask your family about this, because a person contacted the Historical Society and was asking around if anybody remembered it. Sylvia and Jerry Berg remember it. But apparently his grandfather had bought this building in the 30s, and it was on Highway 99 near Tacoma, right outside Tacoma or something, and it was shaped like a fish, and it was a restaurant, like a fish and chips shop, shaped like a 35-foot fish.
Uh-huh.
And he had it towed out to the island and put it near Thompson's Cove, kind of on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived out of it, him and his son lived out of it for a while. And then, I don't know what happened to it after
that. Who knows?
It just kind of disappeared. But ask around and see if anybody...
Never heard. This is no hint.
No hint whatsoever?
No hint, you know.
Anyway.
Yes, I was coming out here, you know, on the early ferries, but my early memories are of having the flu. I had stomach flu. Oh, and the smell of the tide flats just did me in.
Oh, I bet it was down there.
Awful.
Oh, gosh. You'd be puking all over the place
But then one summer, my mom and dad went to San Francisco for a conference, and I got to stay for 2 weeks with Aunt Gerda.
Yeah.
And so I had a fabulous time, just an absolutely fabulous time. I went fishing every day. I didn't do much else, in fact.
Right.
And Lowell would go out on the front porch and harvest a few pheasants for dinner and shoot their heads off. And one of the standard comments is, oh yeah, there's the sheriff going to town. Well, some deer are now in danger. on a small place like this, if you were going to shoot a deer, you waited until the sheriff went to town, then you shot the deer, hung it out, you know, took care of it, and
it's all done by the time he gets back.
It's all done by the time he gets back.
Right.
Yes.
Nobody ever has to know about it.
Yep. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Exactly. That's funny. Anything else you want to add? Or?
I just picked up a picture. This is a real resource, but it's spendy unless you need it.
Mm-hmm.
DOT has been doing overflights, you know, for a long time. And I just picked up a picture, a September 1961 shot of the old place.
Mm-hmm.
It shows all the buildings standing. It shows the barn kind of in ruins. It shows the main house. It shows what I think must have been Anna's house.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the chicken houses are still up, you know, so forth. And since we're trying to establish some things in terms of relationship of things, this is
and
a real, yeah.
Go, right. That suggestion has also been made to me about figuring out where Riviera came in and how that's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They obviously have all that, so you can see from year to year all the growth that it happened.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, I think I'll be checking that out anyway.
So. Yeah, this little picture was $42, so you need to figure out a way to do things that are cheap.
Well, I might be able to swindle them a little bit since it's for the Historical Society and not for...
It's the state, though, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But they may contact print some stuff for you cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the whole frame, which would probably be... a fair amount of the island in one shot. If you were really lucky, you'd get a frame that would nail the island and...
Right.
Or two frames at worst. which would give you a progression, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you very much for everything.